Okay. For those of you listening on the radio and on the phone, we're in heavenly places. Amen? And page 86, if you actually have the book called In Heavenly Places, and it's called The Secret Place of Prayer. It's for today, of course, March 20th. And it starts off with Psalm 91:1. And she says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, what a relief that is, I got to tell you. Before I was a Christian, and I would imagine most of you understand, remember this, how about all the fear you had? I mean, fear of dying, fear of this, fear of that. And then when, and even after you become a Christian, you still have fear for a few years until you start to realize, hey, I have not given you a spirit of fear, he said in the Bible. So this fear is coming from his enemy. And then all of a sudden the fear disappears. Then you realize, because you realize where it's coming from. So she goes on to say, the way to the throne of God is always open. You cannot always be on your knees in prayer, but your silent petitions may constantly ascend to God for strength and guidance. When tempted, as you will be, you may flee to the secret place of the Most High. His everlasting arms will be underneath you. That really does counsel and console the heart. And then she says, we come to God by special invitation, and he waits to welcome us to his audience chamber. We may be admitted into closest intimacy and communion with God. And a lot of people have a hard time believing or even contemplating that, for example. But he's God. And still, it's, and you know, because his ways are not our ways, and so we can't even contemplate how he does all this. And he's able to count the numbers of the hairs on each and every one of our heads, and how he can, you know, and this is what really shocks my socks off. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to know. The whopper prayers, okay, yeah, he's eventually going to answer them, sometimes immediately, sometimes years later. But you know, those whoppers, he's really got his ear on, right? It's a no-brainer. You see him in the scriptures. It's when those butterfly wings come around. I mean, it's when you get those little dinky little prayers that you throw up there, and you would think the Creator of all that is seen and unseen would have a lot more stuff on his plate than to deal with something as trivial as that, and he goes ahead and does it anyway. That sometimes is, like I like to refer to those hugs. That's kind of like a hug there, as well as, you know, the presence upon you, or a neat little dream, whatever the case may be. But it really does bless the heart when you see how he does all that. And still some people can't contemplate, and we probably never will be able to, even in eternity, to understand how he's able to do all that, because we have very finite minds, even when we get to heaven. Because the reality is, okay, we're in an infinity when we get there. We're in an eternity. But we still have to learn. We're still going to go throughout eternity, which is part of the enjoyment. It's part of the joy, if you will, of living up there, or even down here after the 1,000 years are done, or wherever you go during the week. Yeah, because when you look at the, and I like what science is doing recently, just in regards to Hubble, like the Hubble telescope, especially with that new lens they're putting up, and how they're able to see trillions, that's right, I said trillions with a T, of galaxies. And in each galaxy, there's hundreds of billions of planets, if not trillions, because some of these galaxies are massive. Like Andromeda, ain't that one of those whoppers out there? Makes ours look like a little, you know, tiny little dinky thing. And so when you look at all that, and he's got control over all that too, and then it starts to make you realize that this is what he does. I mean, it's just like with you. Let's say you've got something you like to do, and it's a talent you do, and you're good at it. And when you concentrate on it, you really do a good job. Like when you focus, he's God. And not only is he being God and creator, he's also able to focus a lot better than any of us. And just to do that, oh, I mean, God is love. And just to spread his love like that. I mean, how many of us have had pets or still do? Don't you like to nurture the pet, give them everything they could possibly want, even when they don't want it? How about it sometimes? You come up to pet your cat, it's like, get away from me, you know? Dogs are never like that. They're just always happy to see you as if you've been gone for a month, you know. But cats, you know, not so much. But you could tell sometimes how cats are like. Well, humans are like that too. Sometimes the Lord will put a blessing on us, and it's like we could be some pretty jerky people, you know. But anyway, she goes on to say that pray with humble hearts. Seek the Lord often in prayer. And this here, I can't stress this enough. And you've all heard me talk about the midday prayer and the morning and the evening prayer. Well, yeah, it's because David did it. Daniel did it. I would think every patriarch and prophet did it. But I like to think of the way Enoch prayed. I mean, I did a sermon on him years ago. And the only thing I can contemplate or assume in my mind, because I'm not getting a lot of information in scriptures in regards to how he did pray. And I'd never read the book of Enoch, never planned to, because I don't know if it's inspired or not, and I'm not taking any chances. This is like with the Apocrypha. I've read parts of it. I know there's Vatican dogma. I know what goes against the scripture, so I put it down. I used to be Catholic, so I had no choice. It was in our Bibles at that time. But praying all day long, and especially when you're all alone, just having a back and forth. And this is the neat thing about living in today's world, too. You could be driving down the road, carrying on a conversation, your gums are flapping, because I can remember when I was a young man, and I'd be driving on the road. If I was in, the, like, 99% of the time I was in the city, because that's where I lived at the time, and so if it was kind of, like, congested, which it normally was, I had a tendency to talk like this when I was talking again. You know, I would keep my mouth as tight as I could, but I would carry on a conversation when I'm driving. And the reason I would do that is because, you know, in the 80s and 90s, before the cell phones came out that had the speaker phones in the cars and stuff like that, people saw you talking to yourself. That's what they would just figure you're talking to yourself because they don't see anybody else in the car. It's another blessing is tinted windows. So, but yeah, you could just now, you could just drive down the road, just carry on a conversation like, you know, and laughing and carrying on and talking with your mouth without any problem whatsoever and never think you're on the phone. Who cares? You could be talking to him the whole time. Just, and that really makes for an amazing trip as you're driving down the road. You know, because, especially if it's a long drive, you know. A lot better than listening to a bunch of music or, because it's not, unless of course you've got in your own MP3 type music that you can, but I got an older truck, so there's not a lot of, but I do have CDs, so I have all the scripture CDs are in there. So again, she says, pray with humble hearts, seek the Lord often in prayer, in the secret place, alone. The eyes see Jesus, and the ear is open to Jesus. You come forth from the secret place of prayer to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Temptations come, but you press closer and still closer to the side of Jesus and place your hand in his hand. Then you gain a rich experience, resting in his love and rejoicing in his mercy. And even when the temptation comes and you kind of slip up and go ahead and do what you shouldn't have done, what did David do? And the Lord blessed him because he had a contrite heart. The Lord knows your heart just like he knew David's. So if after you do something that's stupid and you feel like the scum of the earth, praise God, you feel like the scum of the earth. Because two things happen here. Number one, you have a contrite heart because it really does bother you that you've done it. And he knows it bothers you. That's the other toss of the coin there. He knows your heart. He knows it really did cut you. And it will make you stronger because now you realize that you weren't as strong as you thought you were. You know, like, take heed lest ye fall theology. We're constantly reminded of that. I mean, what is it? Luke 9:62? Those who put their hands to the plow but keep looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. Boy, that's a, you know, sobering slap upside the head. And it brings you to your knees. Some other people go, ah, well, I'll just confess later when I get a chance. No, man, you get all tore up. You're trying to find a place to get down on your knees, literally. Even if it's just a thought you had that you shouldn't have had, you're looking for a place to get on your knees. So, amen. She goes on, the worries and perplexities and cares are gone. Let's backtrack a little bit. She says, temptations come, but you press closer and still closer to the side of Jesus and place your hand in his hand. Then you gain a rich experience resting in his love and rejoicing in his mercy. The worries and perplexities and cares are gone. And you rejoice in Jesus Christ. The soul is quick to hear the Father's voice, and you will commune with God. This is what really shocks me about atheists. I mean, look what you're giving up here. Well, you can't hear him. Well, yeah, you do hear that still small voice every now and then. I mean, if you see the patriarchs and prophets talking about that still small voice in Scripture, why wouldn't he speak to you today? You don't have to be a patriarch or prophet, or maybe that's the title you will have once we get home, but you certainly don't wear it on your chest now as if you're all that in a bag of spiritual chips. Because a lot of people are out there that like, you know, says, look at me, I'm a prophet, look at me, look at me. Hey, you're supposed to be glorifying he who gave you that gift. But that's the world. She goes on. All criticism is banished. All judging of others has been expelled from the soul. In Jesus Christ, there is a fragrance of character. There is the developing of nobleness of character, of refinement and purity. For by beholding, you reflect the image of Christ. Just like by beholding Hollywood movies, you're going to reflect the image of whoever entices you on that silver screen. It's, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, how many people out there emulate themselves after their favorite actor? Billions of people do that. Hollywood knows that. And so they make their characters as believable as possible. That's why these guys get so much money. They are professional liars. They're very, like the method actor. He'll get into it. I mean, look at some of these guys. Like, what was that one guy's name that literally, he lost a whole mess of weight to make himself look like he was dying of AIDS. Well, I don't even know what that guy's name was. But literally putting their lives in danger for a part in a movie. And that's why they get the big bucks, for one reason. The other reason is because they're powerful in the hands of Satan. He's going to make sure that they're going to stay where they're at. He's going to throw the money at them left and right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey guy. That's the guy. But unbelievable. And it really, he was good looking before that. And then after he did that to himself, and now he's come back and he's gotten his weight, some of his weight back. He looks sickly now. Damage is done. He doesn't look like he used to look at all. He aged at least 15, 20 years. His face alone, 15 or 20 years, it aged. He looks like this one guy that I knew when I was growing up. His dad was a heroin addict. He had that gaunt face. And now when I look at him, because he's in prison for life now, his son, the guy, one of these guys I used to hang with, he ended up, I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, he's in prison now. And every now and then I'll go on the prison website and look at his face. And he looks just like his dad. The gauntness and everything, just like Matthew McConaughey. He's got that, you know, hollowed out face. And he looks like a heroin addict. And I wouldn't put it past him if he is. Well, I don't know how much addiction you can get. I mean, you can get a lot of drugs in prison, but you don't want to be getting that heavy stuff, because how are you going to get it when you need your fix? You know, the casual stuff, I'm sure they get no problem. I mean, it's all over the news. But anyway, so again, there is a developing of nobleness of character, of refinement and purity, for by beholding, you reflect the image of Christ. The other toss of the coin is, like I said, if you're out there looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, that's why I did that video years ago where it says, by beholding, we become killers. And this is why people are doing, it's getting nuts out there. I hear about I put some articles on the site today in regards to some of the stuff that's going on in the past, and Brother Scott shared, reminded me of some articles that I put out a while ago, especially that one woman who burned her baby in public, just started out on fire or something. Or the one woman just recently, some demons were telling her to cut her baby's head off. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on out there, because the devil's, he knows his time is short. He's really kicking it up a notch. But at the same time, so is our Father when that ladder falls. And this is why you're getting the big tests, by the way. He's testing you. I mean, you wouldn't believe how could you compare this? How could you put a word to this? The word amount doesn't give it justice, but the amount of blessings that are at the end of the next test, or the test you're going through now, like the test you're at now, and if you pass it, it's like, boom, the floodgates of heaven are open. and all of a sudden everything that you've been praying for years, wherein you were striving onto that perfection, is yours now. The latter rain falls on you abundantly. You see things as did the apostles, and you can go forth and do things to glorify him like nobody else. And if somebody stuck a gun in your face, it's like, you know, it's not going to go off. And even if it does, you get to, you know, take a nap. Doesn't bother you in the least. You have no fear. Just like when they threw John in the boiling oil, it was like bathwater. You really don't care. There's nothing that would bother you. But you got to get past that test. He's got to know if you can do it. And that's why we're really putting our spiritual noses to the grindstone lately. And that's why you see them out there putting their spiritual noses to the demonic grindstone out there. They're really, really coming out of the woodwork now. And some of us have seen something really close to home recently. That I was just on the phone with Brother Kevin not an hour ago. In regards to some stuff that's some people outside the church are trying to cause issues here. But, you know, they're failing. But of course, the neat thing is, and it always happens, and it just happened again. This is what the reason for the call. You know, some people just don't realize what's going to happen to them when they fall into the hands of an angry God. Come against God's people and you'll find out. And it's not like we're going to be out there like Benny Hinn. Oh, I wish I had a spiritual machine gun. I'd blow your head off. No. We pray for you because that's what the scripture says. And then the coals will be upon your head if, in fact, you deny the prodding of the Holy Spirit. But, boy, I tell you, I've seen some really, really frightening things happen to people over the years that have wanted to do harm to those people that are doing God's work. And it's not like we're asking the Lord to do anything to them. We're asking the Lord to bless them and heal them and keep a hedge of angels around them, both to get them to Christ as well as to keep them away from us, whatever the case may be. And every time they try to step off that path and go after God's people, it really turns out very, very bad for them. Some actually have died because they had really crazy, you know, agendas. But anyway, she goes on, sons of God, daughters of God, we must be like him. And in this close relationship to God, we receive power and heavenly endowment that we may work the works of God. Oh, what joy we experience in the service of God. Amen. What peace, what contentment and rest. Members of the royal family, children of the heavenly king. I mean, you think people down here with all their pomp and circumstance thinks they're all that. When what was that one girl, Diana, when she got married? I mean, the wedding reception was insane. The amount of money that was poured into that. That pomp and circumstance is nowhere near the blessings that fall upon the people of God who are really, truly members of the royal family, the only royal family of the universe. I mean, if they want to be the royal family on Earth, one planet out of hundreds of trillions, well, hey, that's all you want. That's all you get. But I think it's a little wiser to be part of the royal family of the king of the universe. I mean, there's no comparison. How can you even contemplate a comparison? It's not even night and day. It's way past that, light years past that. And then she quotes scriptures, 1 John 3:2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. With such a hope, such a relationship, with all the great and precious possibilities, should not our faith grasp much more than it does? Should we not be inspired in hope and courage that will not fail nor be discouraged under any difficulties? No matter what the case may be. And some of us are going to get hit with the hard tests, but you realize when, and I've seen this a few times in my life, and I know some of you have as well, because you got my phone number or my email address. And there's been times where you think, okay, you know, and it's a split second decision sometimes. You just, you know, just because it's the right thing to do, you step forward and do it, and it's all of a sudden like, wow, where did that come from? You didn't expect the Lord's hand to move in such a mighty way like that, to where you actually see a death prevented, or a soul come to Christ, or a healing occur, or whatever. I mean, something that's just totally, totally, totally unexpected. Because you passed a quick, very snap decision test, because it really meant you're really on that path. You know, because some of us, I mean, well, I would think all of us are going to have those snap decision type tests. And some of us will fail, but he'll test you again. He's your father. He's not your tyrant. So he's gonna, you know, okay, if you messed up that test, he'll let you take it over again. You know? And that's why some of us have to, that's the reason for the 1,011 days in my life when I kept failing a test over and over and over and over and over. And I had to drag my whole family with it during the test with me because I was dumb as a bag of rocks as to what was going on. I didn't realize that, you know, I was supposed to do this, that, and the other things. My mindset in regards to how I was supposed to walk with God was, you know, do it my way as long as it goes along with what God would have me do. No, it's totally do it his way, period. You know, don't assume that just because you're a Christian, you're walking with him, that you're doing the best you can, that he's going to bless it. Because I don't know how many times I've fallen flat on my face thinking, this is what the Lord shall have me do. And then, boom. I'm chewing on dirt. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, because you go flat on your face, it's just a waste of time. So, hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.